إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. From what you brothers have been hearing over and over and over again in the last week concerning the Dawrah that we have been blessed to participate in, whether you are actually in the Dawrah or the Durus that are being taken place here in the masjid in the evening, is that irregardless of the subject matter, whether it is fiqh or al-hadith, or whether it is about aqidah or the minhaj, or whether it is about the Arabic language and learning how to read the Quran, all of the mashaykh, jazahumullahu khaira, have been focusing upon an issue that we can consider to be one of the central themes in this week's classes. And that theme is the importance of the isnad in the religion of Islam. How the Muslim has to see the necessity to connect himself to the people who have passed from the ulama, and how it is an absolute obligation upon the Muslim of today. If he wants to be on the haq and he wants clarity in his religion, he has to connect himself to the scholars of today. If he disconnects himself from the ulama, he's going to fall subject to having a religion and a life that is a life of confusion and problems. Affairs are going to take place, and he's going to be left up to his own desires and his own interpretations, or the desires and the interpretations of others, to determine for him where is the haq and where is the batil. And in the nature of the time that we're living in, this is almost impossible for the person who doesn't have any knowledge. Without the knowledge, you're not in a position to determine what is the Islamic position concerning the pizzeria that was blown up in Palestine. What is the Islamic position concerning it? Do we support it? Those children who were Jews who died, do we rejoice in their death? Do we march and we say, yes, this is something that Islam has established and it calls to? So we want to remind each and every Muslim of the importance of connecting yourself to the isnad of al-Islam. On the top of the isnad, and at the nihaya, or the end of the isnad, are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For every Muslim man, woman, and child, for every jinn, now here's my words at this particular time, wherever you are, know for a surety that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon the only Islam that is going to be accepted by Allah azza wa jalla. Everything other than that is dalala and is batil. So the Muslims have to come to know about their seerah, their example, their history, the personality. So in keeping with the text and the theme of this week's talk, we want to share with you one of the stories of the Islam of one of the tremendous and illustrious companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And what do we benefit from this story as people who are struggling? We have all made the sacrifice to come and to be present in a farida that Allah ta'ala has placed upon us. So that means that everyone here, inshallah, wants to do the right thing. So we compare our efforts now with this particular companion, so as to give us an incentive to do more and not to be satisfied with where we are Islamically and in our struggle and our commitment. And that is the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, who as Imam Muslim has narrated his story in which he was telling to his brother's son. Abu Dharr said to his brother's son, O my nephew, verily I used to pray the tahajjud prayer 2 years before I met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I even met Rasulullah, I used to get up in the middle of the night and I used to pray the tahajjud prayer. His nephew asked him, who did you pray to? Quraysh has a lot of gods. Who are you praying to? Abu Dharr said, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. His nephew asked him, in which direction did you pray? Were you praying towards Jerusalem? Where were you praying towards? He said, I would pray in the direction that Allah Azza wa Jal would turn me to. Sometimes to the east, sometimes to the west, and other than that. I wasn't a person who had any divine revelation, so anytime I wanted to pray, I would just stand anywhere, and that's how I prayed. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, and then I heard of the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. So I took my mother and my brother, and we encamped on the outskirts of Mecca. After encamping there, I left them on the outskirts of Mecca, and I went into Mecca. فَرَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا تَضَعَفْتُهُ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ أَيْنَ هَذَا الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ الصَّابِي. Abu Dharr said, when I entered into Mecca, I saw a man. Now, it's up to you to conceptualize the danger of the time at the beginning of Al-Islam for the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Mecca. Abu Dharr said, when I got to Mecca, I saw a man who I considered to be insignificant, a poor man, a man who I can approach. So I said to that man of Mecca, where is the one that you people are accusing him of changing the religion of his father? Where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The man who was poor, he was on the deen of Quraysh, and he was like the majority of the people today. He was a person who was a copycat. He was a person who went with the majority. He was a person who was afraid of standing up for the truth. So with that simple question for Abu Dharr, the man raised his voice and pointed to Abu Dharr and said, O people of Quraysh, here is one of the adherents. He's one of the followers of Muhammad. He's one of those people who have changed his religion. Without asking any questions, Quraysh came to Abu Dharr and beat him to a pulp. Beat him until he lost consciousness. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, when I came through and I woke up, I resembled one of the red idols of the Kaaba. So I wiped myself off and I went down to the Zamzam water to seek refuge from the oppression of Quraysh, the ignorance of Quraysh that comes as a result of shirk and kufr. He said, I remained in the Zamzam well, in that area, for 30 days and 30 nights. All I had to eat was, I had the Zamzam water to drink. I drank so much Zamzam water, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I began to become bulky and I developed layers in my stomach. Abu Dharr told us, Ikhwan, I came out from the Zamzam water after 30 days and 30 nights, thinking that it was safe. Under the disguise of the nighttime, the protection of the nighttime, maybe there are not going to be a lot of people from Quraysh at the Kaaba. He came out and he witnessed two women from Quraysh going around the Kaaba, making their circuits devoutly, worshipping their idols, Isas and Na'ila. The ghira of Abu Dharr, the hatred for kufr and shirk, caused him to say to those two women, why don't you two take one of those idols and marry it to the other idol? The women heard him and disregarded what he said. They went around the Kaaba and they came back to Abu Dharr again. Abu Dharr said, I couldn't control myself. There was no way that I could speak metaphorically. So I said to them straight, why don't you take the private part of one of those idols and stick it into the other private part of the other idol? The ladies from Quraysh looked at each other and they looked at Abu Dharr. And they said to Abu Dharr, لو كان أحد من رجالنا موجودا لقتلت ها هنا قتلا. If one of our men were here, they would have killed you. If they were here, they would have dealt with you for talking to us like that. So they went off in order to bring back some help. On the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr were coming to the masjid. Rasulullah asked the two ladies, what's the problem? What has distressed you two people? They said, at the Kaaba, there is a Sabi. There are one of those people who has changed his religion. تَكَلَّمَ كَلَامًا يَمْلَأُ الْفَمْدِ. He has said some words to us that will fill up the mouth. We can't even repeat what he said. Obscenity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Kaaba. He went around the Kaaba 7 times. After that, he prayed 2 rak'ahs. After that, he kissed the black stone. Abu Dharr witnessed all of that, and then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ. قَالَ أَبُو دَرْ فَكُنْتُ أَنَا
أول من هياه بتحية الإسلام.
I said السلام عليك يا رسول الله. And رسول الله responded back. Abu Dhar said, I was the first person to greet him with the salam in al-Islam.
So whenever we see each other and we greet each other, the right that the Muslim has over the Muslim is this greeting. The fiqh of al-Salam, books have been written about it. Chapters have been dedicated to it.
Every time you give salam, remember it comes from Abu Dhar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akarrahu alayha. He allowed it after that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Dhar, who are you and where are you from? He said, I am Abu Dhar and I'm from the Ghaffari tribe. At that point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped and he put his hand on his head and he began to sway. Abu Dhar said, I thought that he disliked my answer that I was from Ghaffar. Maybe Ghaffar is his enemy. Maybe Ghaffar oppressed him. So Abu Dhar said, I went to take his hand to assure him. At that time, his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stepped between me and Rasulullah and grabbed me and pushed me away. And Abu Bakr was more knowledgeable about him than I was. After that, the Messenger of Allah came through and he asked Abu Dhar, how long have you been here at the Kaaba? Abu Dhar said, for 30 days and 30 nights. He asked him, what have you been living off of? Who has fed you? Abu Dhar said, no one. I've been drinking Zamzam for 30 days and 30 nights. And I've developed these bulks, and my stomach has layers. The Prophet smiled and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaha mubarakatun wa innaha ta'am tun. Verily the Zamzam water is blessed, and it serves as food that will nourish. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, having the karam of al-Islam, and the karam of the Arab, he said, Ya Rasulullah, let me take him, and let me feed him. The man hasn't eaten a meal in 30 days and 30 nights. So they went to the home of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, what do you think he gave to Abu Dhar for food? Imagine the condition of the companions of Islam at this time. Did he slaughter an animal? He pulled out for him some raisins that were only dried that he had from Taif. So he presented the food to Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar said, it was the first food that I ate in 30 days and 30 nights. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to Abu Dhar, the reason why I grabbed my hand at that time is, revelation came to me, and I saw in that revelation that I'm going to go and I'm going to make hijrah at a place that has an abundance of trees. And I believe that that place is Yathrib, Al-Madina. I want you, Abu Dhar, to go back to your people and call them to Al-Islam for me. It may be that Allah will guide them to you, and you'll get the reward. Abu Dhar said, okay, وَلَكِنَ الَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَأَصْرَخَنَّ بِهَا بِأَعْلَى صَوْتٍ أَمْلِكُهُ. But Rasulullah, I swear by the one whose hands my soul is in, عز وجل, I'm going to go to the Kaaba and I'm going to scream with the top of my voice to let them know about the Kalimat al-Tawheed. He went to the Kaaba after that and he stood in the middle of the Kaaba. The same people who beat him up for no reason, just for asking the question, who is this one who has changed his religion according to you? These same ignorant, oppressive, foolish people. Abu Dhar went to the Kaaba. He stood in front of the people and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The Arabs don't need, at that time, any addition. They understand what it means. They understand the madlulat of those words. They don't need to be sat down and explained. La, la al-nafi, la al-nahi, la al-nahi al-jinn. They don't need to hear that. They understood what the words meant. So what did they do? They stood up and they beat Abu Dhar down to a pulp the second time until he lost consciousness for the second time. Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw what was happening, saw Abu Dhar being stuffed. He came to the rescue of Abu Dhar and he said to Quraysh, Waylako! أَمَا أَلِمْتُمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ غَفَّارٍ وَأَنَّ تَرِيقَ تِجَارَتِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّامِ بِهِمْ. Woe unto you people from Quraysh. Don't you know that this man is from the Ghaffar tribe? And your caravan, your trading route to Sham has to go through them? If you hit one of their countrymen, they're going to rob you. They're going to prevent your caravan. Your blood is going to be lawful. So they let him go. Al-Abbas and the Muslims took Abu Dhar. And they went to take care of his wounds. Now what do you think Abu Dhar did?
He said, again, I'm going tomorrow, and I'm going to let them hear the Kalima Tawheed. I am just a utensil for Allah. I'm going to say it again tomorrow. The next day he went to the Kaaba. He said the same thing. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The same result. The same natija. For the third time, Quraysh beat him to a pulp. He lost consciousness. Al-Abbas came and said the same thing. Waylakum. Amma alimtum annahu min ghaffar. Wa anna tariqa tijaratikum. Ila shami bihim. Don't you people know that this man is from Ghaffar? They saved him again. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stepped in. Rasulullah told Abu Dhar, I'm ordering you, go back to your people. Abu Dhar went back to the Ghaffar tribe. Before going to the Ghaffar tribe, he had to pick up his mother and his brother on the outskirts of Mecca. He started calling them to Al-Islam. His mother and his brother first. They accepted Al-Islam. We see you are a man of conviction. We hear the message. You're from those who have knowledge. You're making it clear. You're not calling to what's ambiguous and ignorant. The mother and the brother accepted Islam. Did he find that enough? Me, my mother, my brother, that's enough. He went to the Ghaffar tribe. He went to the Amir. And he said to the Amir, gather up all of the people from the tribe. For you brothers who don't know about the history of the Arabs, don't think that the Ghaffar tribe are equal in number to the people in this masjid. If you were to gather all of the Muslims in London right now and all of the masjids, the Ghaffar tribe is more than that. He gathered all of those people and started calling them to Islam with strength and knowledge. After that, half of the tribe accepted Islam. The other half of the tribe said, we'll wait until Muhammad goes to Medina. If he makes it in Medina, we'll accept Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina. He made the hijrah. He was safe. The other half of Ghaffar kept their word. The Arabs, even as Kufar, they used to keep their word. So the other half of the tribe went to Medina. They accepted Al-Islam. Now the amazing thing takes place. There is another tribe by the name of Bani Aslam. They are the cousins of the Ghaffar tribe. When they saw their brother from Ghaffar accept Islam, all of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, our brother, Ya Rasulullah, accepted Islam. We accept Islam on what they accepted Islam on. Bani Aslam is bigger than the Ghaffar tribe. So their Islam comes as a result, bi-idhnillah, by the efforts of Abu Dhar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the tribe and he said, Salam Allahu Bani Aslam wa ghafar Allah ghaffaran. May Allah make faith Bani Aslam and may Allah forgive the Ghaffar tribe. This is the Islam of Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari. And we see in this hadith, ikhwan, the strength of Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar, before he became a Muslim, was making the tahajjud prayer. The tahajjud prayer is difficult for the Muslims to make. The sajr and the isha, the most difficult prayer to make on the munafiq. A tahajjud is difficult for the believer. Abu Dhar was making tahajjud as a kafir for 2 years. Strength. Strength. We see the strength of Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu in that he set out to look for the truth and he put his life on the line. And he sacrificed. Fi sabilillah. He didn't eat for 30 days that want anything but water. Not like Ramadan. At the end of Maghrib you eat something and you eat too much that you can't even take advantage of the Taraweeh prayer. Water, 30 days. Only water. For what? For his conviction, looking for the truth. That shows his man of conviction, a man of principle, the Muslim today. He is approached, and he says, it is said to him, if you want to work here, you can't go to Jummah. He says, okay. You can't make your salat of Zuhr, okay. The sister, she wants to work. It is said to her, you can't wear niqab. She says, okay. You can't wear hijab. She says, okay. No principle. The Muslim is in corporate United Kingdom. He has one of these jobs. He goes to the dinner party and the people are drinking khamr. He takes a glass. He doesn't drink the khamr. He doesn't drink it. He knows it's from the kaba'ir. But he wants to be seen with the khamr so that he can fit in. No principle. He doesn't say, I don't drink khamr. You can't make me come. Abu Dhar has some conviction. The strength of Abu Dhar can be seen. and the fact that the man was beat down. Not once, not twice, three times. And in the second instance, he was beat down knowing that he was going to get it. That's some strength, Ikhwan. That's some strength. The Muslim, if he knows some harm is going to touch him, his religion allows him to take the easy way out. Abu Dhar, he always took the strong way. He always took with the Azima. From the strength, Ikhwan, of Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari, radiallahu anhu, is that Abu Dhar did not find it sufficient or enough to be a Muslim. Everyone who was connected to Abu Dhar was going to hear about al-Islam. The Muslim is working with the Kuffar. And then there's another Muslim who goes to Jummah, or he's there. He doesn't even know that other brother's a Muslim because they're hiding their Islam. The brother comes to Islam, and his mother and his father, brothers, sisters, kuffar, but he doesn't give any dowry. He's afraid. His people are not wearing hijab. They're not praying. They don't wake him up. They don't give him advice. They don't say anything. It's enough that I'm a Muslim. It's enough that I'm a Muslim. Not Abu Dhar. He had the strength. Now after all of this, Ikhwan, you see the strength of Abu Dhar? Okay, we came across something that was amazing. Wallahi, it is amazing. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Abu Dhar in the chapter of the virtues of the companions. Go back to this chapter. The Prophet said to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man of all of this strength, Ya Abu Dhar, inni araka da'ifan. Ya Abu Dhar, inni araka da'ifan. وَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ لَكَ مَا أُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي فَلَا تَأَمَّرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تَلِيَنَّ مَالَ يَتِيمٍ. He said, oh Abu Dhar, I see you as a weak man. I see you as a weak man. After all of this kalam of this story, Rasulullah said to him, I see you as a weak man, Abu Dhar. And I love for you what I love for myself. This is one of the characteristics of the believer. He loves to his brother what he loves to himself. And as a result, he gives him advice. And when he gives him advice, he tells him something good before he tells him the evil thing, so that his heart can be prepared to accept the criticism. We don't desire the destruction of the person. Wallahi, the kalam of the sheikh was in his place. I love for you what I love for myself, so I'm advising you. Do not become the emir over two people, and do not take responsibility for the money of the orphan. If you are traveling with a group of people, Abu Dhar, you're the third of them. It's two other ones than you. Don't you become the Amir, Abu Dhar. And if there's an orphan who his father has died, his mother's not on the scene, don't you be responsible for his money, Abu Dhar, because you're weak. What's the understanding of that? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith, with different wording in Sahih Muslim, Ya Abu Dhar, innaka da'if. وَإِنَّهَا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ خَزْيٌ وَنَدَامَةٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَخَذَهَا بِحَقِّهَا وَأَدَّى الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهَا الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا. Oh, Abu Dhar, he was a weak man. And verily, this issue of being in charge is an amana. It is an amana when you're in charge of the people. Whether it is over the trip, whether it's over the people's money, whether it's your family, it is an amana. And it's going to come Yawm al-Qiyamah as a cause of people's sorrow and as a cause of people's punishment, except for the ones who take it properly. With that being the case, Ikhwan, all of us compare our Islam with Abu Dhar. Those from the brothers of this Dawah al-Mubarakah, whether you are in England or anywhere else, you are in positions of leadership. So you need to be careful about what you are saying and what you are doing. What we are creating in the hearts of the people and dividing the people unnecessarily. And that comes as a result of us thinking that we're more and better than what we really are. We talked to you brothers last week about not judging. We don't have the qualifications to judge. And the proof of that is, look at the hearts of the brothers. Everyone is walking around like he's constipated, trying to figure out where you stand and where you are, oppressing each other. Leave the affairs to the people of knowledge. Connect yourself to the chain that will protect you divinely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not become the Amir. Three people. They are traveling from Medina to Mecca. Abu Dhar, don't be the Amir. Why?
Because Abu Dhar, you are a strong man. In the issue of judging, you're going to judge everyone based upon your abilities and your strength. You're going to travel 80 miles an hour from London to Birmingham without stopping. And in the coach with you are women and children. Some of them need to stop. The child needs to go to the bathroom. The mother needs to do something. The one who doesn't know the affairs, he's going to travel according to what he can do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stand up in the press. He'll hear the crying of the baby. He'll become concerned about the child and the mother of the child. And as a result, he would shorten the prayer. An indication that the leader does what? The leader has to know when he has to look and judge according to the weakest one from amongst us. The chain of our community. It is only as strong as the weakest link. We have a chain. One of the links is broken. You cannot treat the chain as if everything is connected. If you put too much weight on it, at the point where it's broken, it's going to break the whole thing. Sometimes we have to disregard the weakest link. But it has to be considered. And the qualified leader is the one who knows when to consider and when not to consider. As for the young, the youth, we don't have this ability. Everyone is strong. Everyone is on my level. Everyone is in my position. So therefore, everyone get with my program. Abu Dhar, you're weak. You're strong in your conviction and your iman, but in taking care of the people, this is a serious issue. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله عز وجل لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد.